And Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem or wherever you live, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the great tools that God has given us in partnership with thousands of other congregations across our nation in reaching the far parts of the earth with the message of Jesus Christ as Spirit-filled believers is Light for the Lost. It is a literature ministry. And over the years, millions and millions of pieces of literature that have shared the good news of Christ have gone all around our world. And amazing results as God's Spirit has used that to reach people and to bring them to Christ. And tonight is our Light for the Lost night. And we are excited you are here. I'm very excited about our guest speaker here tonight. And to introduce him and to talk a little bit more about Light for the Lost is Don Jakes. Don is a businessman in our congregation, and he in the past has been the national director of Light for the Lost Ministries, and he presently serves as the Southern Missouri director of Light for the Lost. They've been on tours and banquets and all kinds of ways of raising partners to help get the message of Jesus Christ around the world. So I want you to welcome Don Jakes as he comes and shares about Light for the Lost and introduce our speaker.
Thank you, Pastor, and it's great to be in another Light for the Lost service. I love being where we're talking about Light for the Lost, and tonight it's back in our church here in Central. As you'll notice, it's a little different. In fact, as I was greeted at the door, they said, what are we doing tonight? Where's all the posters that's supposed to be on the wall? And as for years, if you've been here during our Light for the Lost service, we always had posters lining the wall, And things have changed, so I just wanted to explain those changes to you a little bit and deal with that just a second and then introduce our speaker. First, I just want to be sure everybody got these two forms. If you did not receive these forms, please raise your hand. The ushers have these forms. There's some back here and wherever, if you look around. And if you did not get these as you came in the door, well, the other ushers are prepared to be sure you have them. I want to explain them just quickly, but in doing that, let me just explain the changes that have happened in Light for the Lost and why we don't have the posters up there like we've always had in the past. One of the key changes and important changes is that Light for the Lost has now become a district-based program. In other words, each district, we are responsible in our district, Southern Missouri District, for our Southern Missouri missionaries. So no longer do we send money around to all the missionaries. All the funds raised in Southern Missouri will be used for and given to our Southern Missouri missionaries. And that can be home missionaries. We have 14 challenge centers that we have to keep loaded with curriculum. We provide all the curriculum for Teen Challenge here in Southern Missouri. Chi Alpha Ministries right here in Springfield and across this district. And all the other home missionary efforts, as well as all of our foreign missionaries that are operating out of Southern Missouri District. And so our job now is to keep those missionaries supplied with literature. And so instead of you designating now where you want to send it, the process has changed in that you'll see on this white form that you'll just say, this is how much we'll give to Light for the Lost. And that will come into the Light for the Lost office and be sent in by the church, and it'll go into our district account. And then we've already had two meetings since this change has happened where the requests from Southern Missouri missionaries have come in. They've been approved, sent through the system, and come down to us at the district office. We have a literature committee now in the district, and that committee has met, and we've approved so far, we've approved 100% of all of the requests that have come to us because we have these funds coming in from all of our churches and people around the district. So at this point, I can report to you, we're staying on track. We're 100% of the requests have come in. We've honored them. We've given them what they asked for. But that will only hold true in the future if we continue to raise the funds and they keep coming in. So that's why we're here doing the service tonight. That's why we had the tour again in March, did banquets all across the district. We had 15 banquets in 1 week in March, and churches pledged and individuals pledged, and that's part of what this is about tonight, is adding to that total. So tonight, your commitment will simply be on this little white form. You can make a commitment of a weekly amount, a monthly amount, an annual amount, however you want to commit it. You can fill it out on this form. You keep the yellow copy for your records. The white copy you turn in to us. We'll be down here at this table at the close of the service. And Brother Galyon will instruct you how to bring them in and just make your commitment just like you always have. There's just not a poster, though. You won't have a poster. You won't have. You won't be saying, I want to send this to Asia Pacific, or I want to send this to China, or I want to send this to Russia, or I want to send this to Africa. You'll just be saying to the district, here are the funds, and you take care of our Southern Missouri missionaries. And that's our goal now, is to do that. And then the change that also happened was with our councilman program. Our councilman program, you know, in the past, have all the funds that our councilman gave in dues supplied the operating expenses for Light for Loss. Well, that was totally changed. And now the operating expenses are covered by 10% of all the funds that come in, come back to the district so we can operate. That's how we fund the operation now, is just 10% of the funds received. But the councilman program in Southern Missouri is just as important as it's ever been. And here's how it's changed and how we're applying it. You also receive this brochure called Change a Nation. Each year, we are going to designate a given project, and all of the councilman dues that comes in during this year, all the gifts to councilmen to this project, will go to the project we lay before our churches each year. This year, it is the University of Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, it's a nation that is faced with tremendous, tremendous challenges. Our speaker tonight is based in Zimbabwe. It is just one of those countries that if I tell you that the annual inflation rate in Zimbabwe today is 3,700%. Now let that soak in a minute. That I really can't comprehend that. I just don't know how. You know, we in America get all upset if it ever started to get above 4. 3,700%. That means what cost you a dollar today, that 1 year from now would cost you $3,700. That's the nation we're going to try to impact with the gospel of Jesus. And I tell you, it's a nation that's ready and receiving the gospel, receiving any message of good hope. And any message of help. And so we're going to empower the missionaries, Ken Crooker and Dean Galyon in Zimbabwe, to absolutely saturate the University of Zimbabwe. All the future leaders, business leaders, political leaders, and all of Zimbabwe are in that university. And we're going to see that they have the funds. So all of the councilman money that comes in this year will go to that project. So if you want to help it with that project alone, you need to fill out this brochure and turn it in with the amount you want to give for that. And all the other funds that you turn in will go to the rest of the needs that come in from all our missionaries around the world. Let me just introduce our speaker to you tonight. Brother Dean Galyon is a good friend of mine that I got to know many years ago. He was a pastor here in our district for 17 years. He pastored Southside Assembly in St. Louis, and God then called him from there to go to Africa, where he has now spent many years in Malawi and then now in Zimbabwe. I want to tell a little personal story just to tell you how this man thinks. I was very new at trying to get Light for Loss started in the district, and just set up a meeting wherever anybody would listen to me. And finally, one day, we got a meeting set up in the St. Louis section. And it was at his church in Southside Assembly. So I went up there to speak and to tell them about Light for Lost and everything. And I showed up, and a total of 4 other people showed up that night. And 3 of them were pastors and an assistant pastor. One of the pastor's sons was there as an assistant. So we waited and waited, and no one else was coming. So I said, well, okay. I said, gentlemen, you know why we're here. If you'd like to give a little pledge to Light for Lost, let's just do that, and I'll go back to Springfield, and you can go about your business. And Brother Galyon said, hey, I came here to hear about Light for Lost. He said, I want you to back the truck up and give me the whole load right here. Well, I thought about that over the years, and it was good for me that Brother Galyon said, tell me your heart. Because I learned that if I didn't have it in my heart, I wasn't going to change the minds of 4 people or 400 people. It didn't matter. And we become good friends. I've been with him many times in Malawi and in Zimbabwe, and we just have appreciated the friendship and fellowship of the Galyons. Dean and Peggy, his wife, is here tonight. And it's just great to have them. And I know Dean has come with a word from God, because he always does. And I want you to just introduce to you and have you welcome our friend Dean Galyon, missionary to Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be here. Those of you who have preached at Central Assembly know how intimidating this church can be. I have bosses and former bosses here. But in addition to all of that pressure that's always there when you preach in this place, this night, Don and Jan Jakes were supposed to be in Hawaii. But because it's Light for the Lost, they canceled their trip. And Jan Jakes said to me, you had better be better than Hawaii. Talk about pressure. How can I compete with Waikiki and hula girls? It's a joy always to speak for Light for Lost. Without it, I don't know where I'd be as a missionary. Unless you have been overseas and seen it personally, you cannot understand the tremendous impact literature has on that third world, and how treasured and valuable a piece of literature is. You have no idea unless you've seen it yourself. I'll never forget one time preaching in Madagascar. I was preaching with another missionary who was hosting me. He's 6'8". He was a wrestler. He was in terrific physical condition. He once told me if he had not been a missionary, he thought he would have been a bouncer in a bar. He's a big, strong, tough guy. And we were out preaching in a crusade, and at the end we distributed literature, and the crowd became so excited at receiving the literature that they knocked him down and they were walking on top of him. And the crowd pressed so much around me, you may have noticed I'm not a lightweight. The crowd pressed so much upon me, it lifted me up, and the crowd was bearing me along and my feet were not touching the ground. They were so desperate to get literature. I managed to free one hand and threw the literature into the air. The wind caught it and the people rushed to get it, thus freeing my missionary colleague and myself. That's how it is distributing literature overseas. It's a dangerous situation. We printed up new calendars in Malawi, took them to a crusade meeting. I said to the people at the end, I was foolish. I said to the people at the end, we've got plenty of calendars, don't worry. We got plenty for everybody. There's no problem whatsoever. It meant nothing to them. I said, get in lines. I was so stupid. Get in nice lines. I'm thinking like an American. It just would never work. And they came running upon me, and finally I had about 15 Malawians gathered around me saying, put them away, put them away. You will be killed. You will be. That's how desperate people are. And when we do hand out literature, believe me when I tell you there's not a scrap, there's not a piece anywhere left lying on the ground. That literature is absolutely treasured. It is held on to for a long time. And furthermore, wherever I travel, there are police stops. Now, this may sound not the most spiritual thing in the world to you, but I cannot tell you how many police stops Light for the Lost literature has gotten me through. Not a bribe. You know, I just hand them a, say, here, I'd love to give you this, and I get waved through. I want to thank you for all you do for Light for the Lost, and also to you, councilmen. this first project, this is the pilot project under this new program. We're the guinea pigs. And we are going to do everything we can over a month to reach the University of Zimbabwe students. About 15,000 of them attend that university. If Zimbabwe gets changed, it will be the young people who change it. And we're just praying that God would help us. It's a very aggressive program that we have in mind to reach the University of Zimbabwe, involving printed literature, yes, and a lot of it, but a lot of other things. CDs and many, many other things I could go into. I've got 3 pages of detailed instructions and things that we're going to be doing. Trust me when I say to you this is a great project, and we believe that if there's anything at all that will change that nation around, it will be this particular project. Don mentioned the unbelievable inflation rate there. It's growing at more than 500% now per month. 500% per month. It was in last Sunday's Sunday Mail and Guardian that by the end of this year, the annual inflation rate in Zimbabwe is projected to be in excess of 24,000%. That's beyond anybody's imagination. It's nothing that you can conceive, 24,000. I think in the worst days of Germany's inflationary woes, it was about 18,000 at its worst. It will be more than that in Zimbabwe this year. Pray for us, please, that God would help us to reach that country for Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that one of the ways is through literature. When we plant a church, and that's what I do all the time, I go preach crusades and plant churches. I take a pastor with me, better send him ahead a month or so to try to plant a church. We use literature. And if you could see where my pastors live, I think of David and Tawawa. David and Tawawa. Was living in a cardboard appendage to another bad building, sleeping on the ground, begging me not for a better place to live, not asking me for more clothing, but saying, "Pastor, can you give me some more literature so I can build my church?" I think a privileged Saziba, just recently married, 2 years ago, has a little baby now, living in that two-room house he's so proud of. Two rooms, closet size. And though the government has not and has refused to give us permission to distribute books of hope in the schools there, at peril to his own life, Privileged Saziba has taken from me box after box of the books of hope and has distributed them to schools in the area because the headmasters asked him to, or he got permission from the headmasters. And he does a little AIDS presentation and distributes books of hope. It would break my heart if I had to tell David and Tawawa or Privileged Saziba that I didn't have the literature for them. I know I don't look like it, this will be a shock to you, but I'm a grandfather. I have a granddaughter, this will certainly not surprise you, who's brilliant. In December she'll be 7. This last week her father was praying with her the evening prayer. And the kids have been praying their own prayers for a long time. And he said to them, "Really, you know, it's time for you to start confessing if there are things in your life. When we come to this time together at night, confess anything that, you know, you may have done wrong. Ask the Lord to help you," and so on. Ruth, soon to be 7, said to her father, "I don't have anything to confess." And he said, "Well, just pray then, you know, whatever comes to your mind." She bowed her head this last week and said, "Lord, forgive us for polluting 1/3 of your planet and help us to reduce, reuse, and recycle." My granddaughter was praying as if she was responsible for all the pollution in the world. "You're not responsible for everything bad that's happened, But I believe God will hold us all accountable for what we do to try to make things better. And I just pray that you tonight would be careful to respond to the Spirit as He speaks to you, what you would give weekly, monthly, or perhaps a one-time annual gift to Light for the Lost. You've heard about it from the best, Don Jakes. And then to help us to reach the University of Zimbabwe, just simply fill out the membership application if you're not a councilman. Hand it in tonight. You can begin anytime, any amount of money. We suggest $15 a month, but that's sort of old. You can do whatever you want to do. And we will, I promise you, send photographs back, and we will do what we said we'd do unless Jesus comes first. So thank you. God richly bless you. Take your Bibles now, if you would, and look with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark, chapter number 4. I hesitate to mention anyone here tonight because I have so many friends, so many colleagues, but I must mention my good friends, Obi and Marie Harrop, who are here with us. They pastored formerly in Stratford, now retired from there, attending this church. We are deeply indebted to them in Zimbabwe. For 6 months of last year, they came and were a tremendous blessing to us there. And they're seated right here. And I'm so pleased that particularly Marie could be here. She has been battling something physically for the last several weeks. But it's an honor to have my good friends Obi and Marie here up here. God richly bless you. Take your Bibles now, looking at Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse number 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. I'm reading from the Truckers version, the International. Verse 26, Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." May God bless his word. In this day in which we hear of so many people becoming involved in a bad way on the internet, I want to make a statement to you. It's never going to happen to me. I'm not going to get in trouble on the internet, trust me, for two reasons. One, I don't intend to. Number two, I don't know how. You're looking at the most illiterate computerly person that you've ever seen. I don't know how to do it, you see. But recently I was in the presence of my grandniece, who with ease had gotten on the internet, and I said to her, "Sweetheart, can you step aside for a moment? Let me try something." And strictly as an experiment on the internet, I typed in these two words to see what would happen. The words are "can" and "cannot." To my great surprise, I received back more than 499 million possible sites to which I could go. Let me summarize some of them for you, of what I learned about can and cannot on the internet. I learned, for example, the cans and cannots of raising ferrets. I learned what can and cannot be discharged into a septic tank. Did you know there are rules? I didn't know. I learned what the British Embassy in Kuwait can and cannot do for you. So there you go. If you're interested in raising marijuana, I learned that hybrid marijuana can be cultivated year-round but cannot be killed with herbicides. I read you can run, but you cannot. I learned what documents you can and cannot fax to the Supreme Court. And of course, my thought was, how are they going to keep me from faxing what they don't want? I learned what you can and cannot talk about with a non-Mason. I learned what goodwill can and cannot accept. I didn't know they rejected stuff. This next one really worried me. Trust me, I did not look further into it. What an android named Valerie can and cannot do for you. Let me give you one more. This one really disturbed me. If you cannot get a medical diagnosis from anyone else, you can get one from me. Those are just a few of the cans and cannots I discovered on the internet. The parable of the growing seed is only found in Mark's gospel. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit used Mark to preserve this priceless jewel. For it clearly teaches us the cans and cannots in working for the Lord. We learn on the one hand that human effort is absolutely necessary in everything done for God. Without human effort, nothing will happen. But we learn on the other hand, without God's help, nothing good will come out of it. So we learn that there are terms, there are limitations to human instrumentality in the kingdom of God. And because I think in triplicate anyway, when I read this scripture, I thought of three things. First, what we can and cannot do. Secondly, what we can and cannot know. Thirdly, what we can and cannot expect. Now look back at those three things with me. First, what we can and cannot do. Here's what we read. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. This is what we can do. We can all scatter seed. Then we read, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. This is what we cannot do. We cannot bring life to the seed. Then we read, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it. This again is what we can do. We can bring in the harvest. Look at it with me. We can sow seed. Everybody can sow seed. That would have been a nice place to say amen. Anyone who has received the knowledge of the grace of God in his heart can teach others. We may not all have the same abilities, the same gifts, the same opportunities, the same influence, yet every one of us can drop a small seed into the ground, even a small child. The Bible likens the Word of God to a grain of mustard seed so small that anybody could carry it anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, fat or thin. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It matters not. Everybody can sow seed. The precious seed of God can be sown by all of us, can be carried by us anywhere, and can be dropped any place. It's work that we can all do, and we must do with lavishness. We must sow the seed everywhere we go. I believe it was Isaiah who said, sow your seed beside every stream. Not long ago, my wife and I were with a certain pastor and his wife. After church, they took us to lunch. And you know, when you go out to a restaurant and the food comes, there's that awkward moment when you want to pray over the food. Now, you're out in public. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're grateful. But it can be a tad awkward. You don't want to appear like a Pharisee. But on the other hand, you don't want to be like those nine lepers who didn't give thanks. But you don't want to make a spectacle of yourself in public. Have you ever noticed that if you're careful about it, you can drop your napkin to the floor, and before you get down and pick it back up, you can have your prayer said. Nobody knows. Or you can kind of you can kind of cough out your prayer, and nobody knows. Now, that awkward moment came when the waiter brought the food to the table. And he stood there waiting for us to begin. For some people, that's awkward. For this pastor's wife, it was no problem. She said to the waiter, sir, we are about to pray over this meal. Before we do, is there anything in your life you'd like us to pray for? I thought, oh, hallelujah. Here's a woman who casts her seed everywhere she goes. It's something you can do, something you must do with lavishness. And the truth is, if you don't sow the seed, you can never have a harvest. Have you discovered you do not have to sow weed seed? You don't have to sow thorn seed. You don't have to sow thistle seed. That stuff grows on its own. But if you want corn, you got to plant corn. If you want barley, you got to plant barley. If you want wheat, you got to plant wheat. If you want to have a harvest, you've got to plant seed. The human heart will naturally bring forth evil in abundance. But if you want to have a good harvest, you've got to sow the seed of the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Sow it everywhere. Sow it. It's what we can do. But we cannot bring life to the seed. You don't know how it grows. That's what the parable says. You cannot make it grow. None of us can make a seed germinate. You can create the right environment for it to grow. You can put it in the soil, proper soil. You can expose it to the right amount of sunshine. You can make sure it gets sufficient moisture. You can plant, you can put some fertilizer on it. But you cannot make a seed grow. This is the true growth of the Word of God. Is not something that we can do, but thank God we don't have to do it because the Holy Spirit does it for us. Hallelujah. But then we can reap the harvest. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it. Jesus once said to his disciples, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Have you noticed when something is ripe, you don't have to yank and pull or cut it. You just touch it and it falls in your hand. We should be watching for people all around us who are becoming ripe for the harvest, because no believing person should ever be left standing in the field. We can bring in the harvest. What can we do? We can sow seed. We cannot bring life to the seed, but we can bring in the seed once it has matured and produced a harvest. That's what we can and cannot do. Secondly, what we can and cannot know. Now, I already told you I'm a grandfather. Hopefully, you've gotten over the shock. I have also a grandson who will be 9 shortly. Now, not only is this kid brilliant beyond his age, he's also handsome as can be. He's in the second grade. He called me just a few days ago and said, Grandpa, I took a 4th grade math test today. I said, how'd you do, boy? He said, I'm just like my grandpa. I did great. Oh, hallelujah. This kid's going to be all right. He's now 8 years old, soon to be 9. Not long ago, he was in the presence of his 4-year-old cousin, Ashton. And in the presence of 4-year-old Ashton, 8-year-old Luke solved a certain mathematical problem, whereupon Ashton's mouth fell open in amazement, and he said, wow, Luke, you really know stuff. You may know stuff like Luke, but there's some things you can know and some things you cannot know. Here's what you can know. You can know that the seed will grow because God said it would. God said, my word will not return or empty. It's going to produce. God said the seed will come back. It will grow because it is alive. And it is the nature of living things to grow. The Bible describes itself as the living, imperishable Word of God. We can know, dear friends, I said we can know that the seed will grow, but we cannot know how. In the church that I pastored in St. Louis, I had a deacon who was the smartest man I ever met. Now, that's the truth. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He had his doctorate in chemical engineering. Now, anyone who does well in chemistry has my undying admiration. I did pretty well in school, but chemistry was always a bit of a struggle for me. So somebody who gets into chemistry and understands it, I think they must be brilliant. And this guy is, doctorate in chemical engineering. But not only can he talk on that subject brilliantly, he can talk on any subject equally brilliantly. He's just brilliant. And one day he heard me say something like this, where I don't know how seeds grow, whereupon he launched into a 10-minute scientific discussion, lecture, on how seeds grow. When he was done, he said to me, now you can never say again that you don't know. And I said, I can, because I understand nothing of what you just said. You can watch a seed grow. Remember when you were a kid, you used to plant something, then you'd dig it up the next day, see how it was doing? There was that curiosity inside you. You just had to know, is it doing it and how does it do it? You can't ever know. There are secrets into which you cannot pry. Kingsley Kamanga was a drunk doing what drunks do. He was drinking in a bar. And as so often happens with drunks drinking in a bar, he ran out of money. But he thought to himself, it's not a problem. There's a crusade across the street. I'll just sneak out of the bar. I'll go hide somewhere in the dark. When the crusade's over, I'll attack and rob somebody, get money, and I'll come back and I'll drink to my heart's content. That was his plan. He left the bar, went out and hid in the darkness, but he made one mistake. He got there too soon. And when the gospel seed was cast from the altar that night, and at the conclusion, the invitation was come forward to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Kingsley Kamanga stepped out of the darkness of that bush into the light of the kingdom of God, and gave his life to Jesus Christ, came to our Bible school, and became one of my favorite pastors in Africa. How does it happen? I don't know. I just know that it does happen. Amen. Why do you and Peggy, why do you guys keep going back to Africa? Why do you keep going as missionaries? Because you like the travel? Are you serious? I hate the travel. I hate the border crossings. I hate the police stops. I want to be in the same bed every night of my life. That's my wish. I hate the travel. I don't go because of the travel. Are you kidding me? You go because you like the exotic nature of being overseas. Are you serious? You go because you like the food. Get real. I've eaten monkey. Some people once asked me, what does monkey taste like? Well, once you push aside the hair, monkey tastes like spoiled Spam. I've had intestines. I've had mouse serve me. I don't go because of the food. Trust me. I go because I know whether I'm casting the seed personally through preaching or whether I'm casting the seed in another way through distributing light for the lost literature, I know that the seed will grow. I don't know how it happens. I can't explain the process to you. I just know that I know that I know it works. You can know that the seed will grow. You cannot know how. Thirdly, what we can and cannot expect. We can expect to see a harvest. That's the one thing this parable makes very clear. The farmer casts his seed into the ground and the seed springs up and grows. He can expect the harvest. I wish I could stir up the expectations of all Christians here today, because I think so many people live and work without faith, failing to expect the harvest. If you have a garden or a field and you sow seed in it, you would be greatly grieved if nothing grew. But many Christians seem to be content without a harvest. It would be like going to the well day after day and drawing up an empty bucket. In the South Sea Islands, there is a plaque erected to the memory of missionary John Geddes. This is the inscription on that plaque. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen here. That's the power of the gospel seed. We should expect results. But we cannot expect every seed to spring up immediately. We have to fight the tendency, those of us who preach in Africa, the tendency to believe that we are the world's greatest preacher. Because in Africa, when we preach, the Africans believe what we tell them. It's a wonderful experience for every preacher. Most preachers don't get that thrill. They believe what you tell them. And so we get spoiled. We think we're such great preachers because we'll give an altar call at the end and 90% of the people will come forward to accept Christ. That used to really disturb me. I got so worked up about it one time when they came forward like that, I sent them all back to their seats. I made it harder to get saved, gave a second altar call, and 95% of them came forward. But I know it's not that way usually in most places. So many times we scatter the seed and people are, they don't respond. I say that for the benefit of some mother here tonight who's been praying for her wayward son or daughter for a long time, and you've not yet seen results. Some father who's praying for his children, or maybe a brother or a sister. Maybe your grandparents praying for your grandkids, and it hasn't happened yet. We cannot expect every seed to spring up immediately. A crop of tomatoes comes relatively quickly. It takes longer to grow trees. It is our responsibility to sow it, to hope for quick reaping, but still, we need to remember the words of the Apostle James, who said, "The farmer waits patiently." But you can expect the good seed to grow. You cannot expect it all to spring up immediately. Now, as I conclude, this parable talks about sleeping. I grew up in a rural community. I'm well aware of the life of a farmer. So I know how difficult it is to be a farmer. Someone once said of the life of a farmer is easy because his work continues even when he's not there, even when he's asleep. That is to say, things continue to grow even when he's asleep. Now, there's an element of truth there, of course, but I also know how difficult it is to be a farmer. Let me talk to you a minute about sleep. We can sleep the sleep of confidence. We can be absolutely confident that God is in control of everything. That's why Walt Mills' song a few years ago struck such a responsive chord in everyone's heart. When he began to sing it, we all started to sing it. Everything's going to be all right. God is absolutely in control of everything. You remember Jesus when he was crossing the sea and the great storm arose? The wind blew and the boat shook. Where was Jesus? He was somewhere in the boat sleeping. How can you sleep in the boat in the middle of a storm? You can sleep if you know you're going to get to the other side. The news I have for you tonight is good news. God's kingdom never has been in jeopardy and never will be in jeopardy. You can sleep the sleep of confidence. Omnipotence cannot be defeated. But on the other hand, we cannot sleep the sleep of carelessness. We cannot say because God is in control of everything, we don't have to do anything at all. Because even though the farmer has cast his seed, he's got to drive away the birds, he's got to remove weeds, he's got to do what he can to prevent floods, he's still got to watch over things. You cannot be careless. My friend, is it Ray? Would you mind throwing up on the screen the photograph of Pastor Chinyama? He's known to some of you here. Let me tell you about Pastor Chinyama. Chinyama, that means big meat. Pastor Big Meat. When I went to Zimbabwe, he was pastoring in a suburb of Harare called Overspill. It is just that. It's an overspill of people, a high-density suburb. There are no facilities there. There's no electricity there, but a lot of people there. He'd been pastoring there for almost 8 years under a piece of plastic. He had about 20 people or so who could get underneath the plastic and maybe another 20, 25 people on the outside of the plastic. He'd pastored for 8 years. He was paid $6 a month. But during those 8 years, he had planted 8 other churches. That's the kind of guy you want to help. We had a group of men come, some from this church, to help us to pray. We went out there to that location where he was. He had a little house, 2 closet rooms, sized rooms. He said, "We need a piece of ground. You got anything in mind?" He said, "Don't look." But he kind of indicated, he said, "That piece of ground right over there, I'd sure like to have it. It's designated for a tavern, but I'd sure like to have it." We prayed. Don Jakes was one of them. We prayed. And we got the piece of ground. Put a wall around that piece of ground. Next slide. That's when I met Levi Chihomwe. I came back to the States just recently and saw his picture on the But God poster. I was so surprised. I took a photograph off the But God. I hope I'm not violating copyright. That's the photograph. Levi Chihomwe. Chihomwe, big pocket. Levi, big pocket. He's a good-looking man, isn't he? Beautiful smile. Nice white hair. If I had a photograph of him from that first day that I met him, his hair wouldn't be white. What may have been white, I don't know. He hadn't had a bath in years. He was a madman, living on the streets, carrying around a crumpled bunch of paper. In his former life, he was a reader. His wife had suddenly died soon thereafter his firstborn son had died. He'd lost his mind. He's out on the streets. We put a wall around that piece of property. I met him. I took to him Light for the Lost literature. I said, here, I want you to take this and read this. And I want you to come to the crusade meeting tonight. He came to the crusade meeting that we had. Gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was saved, healed, delivered, and put into his right mind. Absolutely healed. Show the next slide. There he is in the middle. You don't see him well, but that white head, you see it. He's in the middle of that church. I told you they had 45, 50 people. Last November when I was there, under that tabernacle, they had more than 500. I just had to go back for general counsel a month ago there. We had over 600. There he is in the church, part of the church worshiping. That was last November I took that. After the service, I pulled him to the side and I said, Brother Levi, I said, I'm going to the States. He said, I've heard that. I'm going to be gone a while. He said, so sorry. I said, Brother Chihomwe, is there anything you want me to tell the churches across the United States while I'm there? Without hesitation, he looked at me and said, tell them thanks for sending you. I'm nothing, I'm nobody, but I could throw some seed his direction. And let the seed do the work. His clothes look pretty good there. Don't let that fool you. Those clothes are shot, ruined, tattered beyond belief. When I went back for general counsel, my wife and I had bought him a suit and shirts and ties. Show the next slide. There he is taking up the offering. I'll guarantee you, Levi Chihomwe was in church today. When I was done talking with him, the pastor took me and showed me this baby. Next slide. That baby. I don't know how old that baby was, fairly newborn. And said, that woman holding that baby found the baby this past week, buried in the ground up to its neck. And abandoned. That baby could have been eaten by ants or birds or dogs, but a woman in the church found the baby and brought it to church. I emptied all the money I had out of my pockets and handed it to the pastor. I said, take care of the baby. I promise you, dear friends, today Levi Chihomwe and that baby, they're in church. Several years ago, when the price of gasoline began to escalate, I remember the ad for Volkswagen for their bug, the Volkswagen bug. It showed a certain house. The bug pulled in next to the house, and the voiceover said, our car makes your house look bigger. Then they repeated the Volkswagen slogan, which was, think small. If you know me, you never thought you'd ever hear me say, think small. But I'm calling upon you today at Central Assembly when the whole world screams, think big, think about yourselves, dream big dreams for yourselves, forget about everybody else. I'm asking you to think small. I'm asking you to think about the Levite homeways, the madmen of this world over whom the world despairs and says there is no hope. And the abandoned kids of this world. I can tell you, dear friends, I'm going to keep on preaching as long as the vision of foreign missions allows me to, or until Jesus Christ comes. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on sowing the seed. I'm going to use literature. I'm going to use anything I can to reach the Levites, the homeways, and abandoned kids of this world. Because that, my friend, is their only hope. I'm asking you at Central Assembly, think small. Remember these the world thinks little of, cares nothing about. We want to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you do what you can? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church and all that it means to missions, missionaries around the world. Some of the greatest people I know are in this room with me right now. Great preachers and pioneers of the gospel. I know they'll respond. I know they will. And there are other people, Lord, I don't know. But I pray that you'll speak to them tonight and help them to do what they can. Whether young or old, rich or poor, remember those whom the world has abandoned. Say, I'll do what I can to reach them. And I'll equip those missionaries. I'll give them what they need. If they're willing to go, then I'm at least willing to equip them. I bless your name now, O God, as you speak to everyone here present in Jesus' name. Amen. I now want you to do what God tells you to do. I want you to take this form here, white on the front, yellow on the back. I want you to fill it out, please. I'm doing what your pastor has asked me to do. I don't have enough influence here, I told him. I don't have enough influence to raise my gas to go home. I'm just asking you to respond to the Holy Spirit tonight. Will you do that? Will you say, next 12 months, this is what I can do. This is what I will do to help provide literature to our missionaries. If they'll go, we'll at least make sure they go with something in their hand. We're not going to waste it. Literature is not wasted in the third world. I want you to put your name in, address, and so on. Give them all those details. Then on the right side, just put how much you want to give weekly, monthly, annually. Young people, you can respond. You can give something. Some of you are on retired incomes. I had a wonderful lady who called me out of the blue Friday. She got my name from somebody at headquarters and said, God has spoken to me about Zimbabwe. Can I help? Is there any missionary there that needs any help? I said, what are you talking to him? Lady on fixed income, she said, I want to give you $20 a month. Never met you. I just want to give it to you. And I want to give your wife $500 to make puppets to reach the kids of Zimbabwe. Will you do what God asked you to do tonight? Fill it out, please. Then I'm going to ask you to bring it up to Brother and Sister Jake's here at the front table on your right, my left. Bring it on up there. They'll do whatever needs to be done. In addition, if you are a councilman, already are a councilman, please don't stop. Continue to be a councilman. I've been a councilman ever since they lowered the standard and let pastors become councilmen. I've been one. But if you're not a councilman or a councilwoman, why don't you fill out the membership application and say, I want to give so much per month. We say $15, but you can give any amount. You can give more than that, surely, or less. As God speaks to you, and you heard tonight that it's going to go to help this year with the University of Zimbabwe outreach, a massive, massive month-long, everyday effort to affect the lives of those students. So we're going to ask you to do what you can do. So while we get a little traveling music, we're going to ask that you just speak to your husband or wife if necessary. Fill it out and bring it right on up here right now. Come on forward at your leisure. Don't anybody leave yet. We're going to pray a prayer at the end. that God would just bless what's been done tonight. So come ahead, please, right now. Fill out the form. If you didn't get a form, just wave your hand. I promise you, the ushers will come to you. Just come and hand it up here. That's it. Instead of tearing down the posters like we've done in the past, is what we're going to do. Everybody should have a part. Everybody should have a part in what we're doing tonight.